Jason Lee Podcast.
Welcome back to an all-new episode of the Jason Lee Podcast. Listen, we're going to cut it short today because we got a full show. But look, I'm so happy to be back here in the studio. Got my Jason Lee for City Council shirt on. You know, I'm thinking I'm going to make this available for people to purchase because people from all over the world, even in Uganda, have asked where they can get this shirt. It's not like you can vote me in or anything, but I at least want you to be able to have this thing that you can wear to support it. Maybe we'll put it on the website. What do you think? Make it available?
Yes. Yeah,
sell it.
Who's going to ship it?
Immediately, yes.
Andrew. We'll figure out how to get it to you, but let us work that out. I'm back from the campaign trail just recently in Stockton for State of the City, where everybody got together, all the officials, and I wore this suit. I'm going to show you this B-roll of me and the young kids from the I Am Ready initiative or the Hollywood Cares Foundation work that we're doing in Stockton. And we walked in. I had to slow it down. I choreographed this moment head to toe, showing people that we walked in there really looking like we were ready to, and I know y'all are tired of me saying this, stand on business. And we did. But here's the thing, and the reason why I showed you this is because I had this whole moment last night when everybody was hitting me up saying, oh, Jason, you look so good in this suit. Oh, you look so good with the tie. Oh, you look so this, you look so official. Oh, now you look like a politician. I had a moment where I said to myself, and I'm going to say out loud now, the clothes don't define the man. The man defines the clothes. Okay, fashion is not who I am, it's what I wear. And I went to the Sikh temple for the Sikh parade last week, and I'll show you a couple photos here. So as I'm talking, you're looking at these photos. These are photos for me at the Sikh temple where I wore a unreleased Yeezy Gap oversized coat that nobody has because, as you know, it didn't come out. But I wore that there because it was important for me to show up to their culture as me for my culture, because that's where culture collided, right there at the Sikh temple. And I spoke in front of hundreds of people. There were thousands of people in the street, and they respected and they appreciated. And this is a culture who sometimes may be judged by what they wear. And it was important for me to show my intent to celebrate them. And in turn, they celebrated me. And I saw a lot of people online saying, yo, that's swagged out. I think you even created a comment on there, right? Where people were like, oh, yeah, that's swagged out. Because for younger people, years later, they'll look back on these photos and be like, yo, damn, that's dope how you pulled up. Mm-hmm. Well, yesterday when I pulled up in the suit and people were saying, you finally look like a politician. Oh, my God, you look good. You should do suits more. You look official. You look official. What makes me official is what's up here, not what I wear. And think about it. There are little black boys like Trayvon Martin who were murdered in the streets because they wore a hoodie because you told them what they looked like. You thought they were something other than they were. And I want to be very clear that as I continue to use my platforms and I continue to show up as I am, however I'm feeling that day, I'm showing up as a brilliant, proud GED recipient, passionate, driven individual who is driven by ideas and dreams and will continue to be that person for the people who are watching me and the people that follow me and have been following me. You get it. But I want us all to be very mindful of the words that we use. And I appreciate all the compliments. And I did look damn good. That ass was tighter in them pants. I told my shopper, please make sure every suit you buy from now on has that kind of nushing in the cushion. Okay, because I ain't gonna lie, my body was bodying yesterday. But it was the compliments that made me pause for a second and say, be careful how you tell people how they need to dress in order to look a part, or how you judge a person based on how they are dressed, because I have always been official, whether I'm wearing Dior or a suit, whether I'm wearing Balenciaga or I'm wearing Zara, because I got some of that in the closet too. Don't judge a book by its cover. Just be very mindful of that. Does that make sense, what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's why I respect, right away when I saw you with the big puff coat in the Sikh temple, I'm like, wow, you were never going to change who you are, though, but that's how you are.
Mind you, I'm there running for political office with the sheriff and this and this, and all the people showed up as, you know, their suits and all that. I showed up with...
But you still, like, do the traditional, like, take your socks and shoes off.
Oh, you got to do all that. Yeah, of course.
So it's good. It's a good, like, marriage of both worlds.
The Bible says, come as you are.
Period.
So when did we start rewriting what the Bible said? We can't show up as we are? Now, yeah, I'm not going to show up to the city council wearing a Ronald McDonald costume, right? Because that's not right. Even though some of y'all up there do act like Ronald McDonald. But no, I'm going to show up the way that I am. And I think that we just have to be very mindful when we're talking specifically to young black and brown boys and girls, too, about how they need to show up to prove anything. You know, your hygiene should be immaculate. You should definitely make sure that you're professional or dress professional all the times. But in certain situations where a suit's not required, show up as you. And I really feel like, again, how I do, what I say, what I believe, interviews I do, the viral moments, the posts, whatever, I'm showing up as me. And as uncomfortable as it is at times, people are going to accept it or not accept it. And I'm fine with that. But anyway, we have a lot going on at Hollywood Unlocked, Healthcare Unlocked, Jason Lee for Stockton, Hollywood Unlocked Impact Awards. We just have a lot going on.
A lot. But it's all good. It's all good.
I've been suffering from extreme panic attacks. I have felt like I've almost died 3 times this week because the anxiety is at all-time high. But again, I have brought it on myself. Mm-hmm. They say, be careful what you ask for, because there were days that we used to dream of all these things happening where I used to say, why not this? Why not this? And now it's literally all happening. And I'm grateful for it all, but I'm still stressed out. And I just have to give my team flowers. Because somebody wig was in that thing, because I had hair on. If it were not for a small yet mighty team, it would not be possible. You know, again, people don't see Rob flying back and forth to Florida every week to make sure our healthcare unlocked business is booming, or that Marina and Johnny are in the studio every day. You know, I call Johnny and Marina and be like, what work do y'all even be doing? They're like,
all the time. That's why I'm like, ding, 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 ding.
So I call Rob. I'm going to tell this to Marina and Johnny. Johnny, are you listening?
Yeah.
So I call Rob one day. I'm like, do they be working? And Rob is like, Jason, you only see them when you walk in, shoot, and walk out the door. There's a whole production that goes on behind the scenes, you know, from editing, watching, time cutting, whatever. And Marina with the gifts. I drive Marina to drink and almost a nervous breakdown every week. Because I don't see all the work that goes into it.
It's a lot.
But we're a small but mighty team, right? When you look at some of these other shows that are, you know.
Every show that I've come from has had like over 200 people. Because you always ask me that. And I'm like, we don't even have 20. We don't even have 10.
First of all, we don't have 5.
We don't have 5.
For the show.
Right. That's why I'm like, we don't have nothing. Like, we work off of nothing, but it's
then
cool.
Why is our show so much better? And I'm not being shady. I'm just really saying, like, 200 people. Can you imagine doing a staff meeting with 200 people, Rob?
No.
I would, my report out every day on a Zoom with 200 people, go by department. Like, that would be crazy. Mm-hmm. How do they function with 200 people?
They don't. We still don't function with 200.
Well, I'm proud of my team, and you know, I'm not gonna apologize for being crazy. My mom was Italian, it is what it is.
Well, thank you for the flowers. I appreciate it.
These are the only ones you're gonna get. We're cutting down on budget too, by the way. These are free. After the show, we put these flowers back up. These are reusable flowers, by the way. All
but
right.
I've never heard you say also that you cause your own stress and you cause your own.
Oh, I know. Oh, I know. Thing. I cause my own crazy for sure. Mm-hmm. And I live in it. But I also think that, what if I wasn't crazy? Would we be where we are? No, because on top of all this, I've also recently finalized my pitch deck and pilot for my first scripted project, which they've seen, mm-hmm. and I'm very proud of it. It's emotional. Is it good?
It's very good.
It's goosebumps all over, and it's something that no one's going to expect and no one's going to believe.
Well, I showed it to my friend Evan Ross the other day at lunch, and Evan cried. I mean, he cried real tears. He is an actor, though, so... But they were real tears. Because he loves me. He knows my story. But anyway, it's based on my book. I can't wait to share that. I don't know when I sell it, I guess. All right. Enough of the updates. We're going to go ahead and get right to the tea with Jason Lee. Marina had to take something off my sleeve. We don't have a wardrobe department. All right. This girl's in the news. You know, Megan Fox is getting a talk. She's getting talked a lot about. She's getting a talk. She's dating a man who's black from the waist up, okay? She gets talked a lot these days at Hollywood Unlocked because she was in this whole situation where she was compared to another girl. Another girl was compared to her. Well, anyway, she talks about the comparison, and she's finally addressing this whole conversation that was started online that turned into a controversy between herself and this woman named Chelsea Blackwell from Love is Blind. Now, this is a photo of Megan and Chelsea in case you've never seen it. Now, I'm going to say this, and I know it's going to come off rude.
Lord.
Megan looks like Megan And Chelsea looks like Caitlyn Jenner.
I was not expecting that.
Oh, God. Oh. Why'd I hear Johnny laugh in the other room? But I put the photo back up. I know you guys say I'm shady. I don't know this girl from anything. But tell me that don't look like Khloé before Revenge Body on the right.
You know what?
And that kind of looks like Kim Kardashian.
That looks like Kim and Khloé from season 3 of Keeping Up with the Kardashians before they kept up with all the deals and surgeries. Right? Well, anyway, on the show, Chelsea boldly claimed that she looked just like Megan Fox. Girl, you don't even look like Vivica Fox.
It's giving Natalie Nunn.
Huh?
It's giving Natalie Nunn.
You know what? Wait, this podcast is not supposed to be shady.
That's not shady.
Put her picture back up.
Rob.
Is that shady? It's real.
What part of her looks like Natalie?
There's one part. That gives
me. Don't have Natalie right coming from
Natalie
me.
Natalie is my friend, and Natalie, I know you think that we don't like you because Tommy came up here and said this about you and your husband. Wait, Natalie has a side.
I think she got a couple of them. I be seeing a lot of fucking on her, like while we was working. Don't nobody know that.
What?
I think even her husband knows that.
Side, like they hang out or side.
No, like they fucking. Like I've seen him in the bed, and I like he's been like, you know what I'm saying? She playing well. See, I got videos of her, all of that. Jason, you know this. Stop playing games. Stop playing fucking games with me, Jason.
Tommy, what? First of all,
this why I don't talk. This why. Everybody play green and like I'm just saying stuff off the top.
I mean,
of
the
my
word
head.
Is she got side. I've never seen them.
Okay, so I'm not lying.
But you've seen them.
I was with them.
Where's her husband, Jacob, during all this?
Babysitting. Nanny.
My
you knew that.
Fell out. Her man is fine, though. This is what I don't understand.
He is. I wonder if he got some on. He give me that.
That he does?
Yeah.
But then why, if you got the man with the dick and the baby and all that, why you want more dick?
Bored.
Not the call to the clip.
I love Natalie Nunn. Natalie is a friend of mine. She's been up here many times. You're basically talking about her chin.
No, I'm not.
Put the picture back
I'm saying
up.
She
put
looks
the picture
like,
back up.
She looks like she's
what
giving
part?
Natalie
point
Nunn
it out.
Her whole face.
No, it's not the whole face.
Y'all not going to put them words in my mouth because I did
First
not
of
say
all,
that.
I'm glad that you showed up work concerned about what's being. This show is not messy. It is factual based. And that is your opinion.
Yes.
Okay. You can talk to Natalie when she comes on the show. Well, either way, that girl said that she looked like this girl and claimed that on the show, and it set the internet on fire. Take a look.
Do you ever get told you look like a celebrity?
Yeah.
Do you?
I do.
I do too. All the time on the plane, I get one person. And it's just because I have dark hair and blue eyes.
Ooh.
But I don't see it, so don't get excited.
Say it.
It's I don't even know if it's MGK's wife or his girlfriend.
Megan Fox? You saying you look like Megan Fox?
It's just because I have light eyes and dark hair. That's the only reason. There's nothing else. At least I'm assuming so.
I mean,
Listen, buddy. What'd you say?
So for those of you that haven't watched the show, and please correct me if I'm wrong, these people are separated in different rooms and don't see each other. They see each other for the first time when they meet. Is it when they meet to marry or no?
Yeah, when they propose.
When they propose. Okay. Well, the guy proposed to her, and when she showed up looking like Natalie Nunn, he wasn't happy. What is wrong with you?
Rob.
Go ahead.
You're shady today.
First of all, Natalie Nunn is, I think, allegedly, I'm going to say allegedly.
Allegedly.
On Ozempic because her body is looking good. She lost a lot of weight.
I think Natalie Nunn is very pretty. I don't know why you guys are assuming I'm saying something negative.
Now,
or not.
If Natalie Nunn went and had chin surgery. We clean up after the show. But you guys would turn that into a thing. I love that Natalie takes all the jokes on the chin. Anyway, Natalie's a good sport about all this. Well, he actually met her and proposed to her and then dumped her. I would have too. If you tell me you're showing up like Jason Tatum and you show up like Gary Coleman.
Okay, but she said she didn't see it. She said people
Excuse
tell
me.
Her.
Here's where we're going to put a picture of Jason Tatum next to Gary Coleman. If you show up like one person after you tell me you were somewhere, Jason Tatum could get it all. Jason Tatum is the only celebrity in the world right now that y'all could call to tell him to tell me to do something, and I would do whatever he tells me to do. Take that down. Yes, sir. Hey, the only one.
Yes, sir.
Hi, yes, sir.
Yes, a boss. Okay? Well, she does look like Caitlyn Jenner. I don't care what nobody says. She did not show up like this.
I kind of see the resemblance. I'm sorry, unpopular opinion. I see it. It's like, you know that meme where they show Kylie before and after and they're like, you're not ugly, you're just broke? Have you ever seen that?
I've seen cataracts.
What the heck? I see it. Like, she looks like how Megan Fox is supposed to look
she's
like without
small,
the work.
She's small town Megan Fox.
Yeah. You don't see the eyebrows?
No.
You don't see the nose?
No.
Oh.
The lips? No. The cheekbones? No. Not, she's even glossier than her.
The hair?
No. The body's a little frumpy. No. Mm-mm.
Oh.
I mean, she looks like at what, Five and Below version of a Megan Fox would look
she's
like, right?
She's small town Megan Fox, yeah. So I get
no,
what she was
five
trying to
below.
Say.
She's a team move.
You know when you go in to buy a toy you would get from Toys R Us for $39.99, but it's below $5 there?
Oh, God. It's
I
like
just
$2.99.
Discovered Five Below, so now I talk about it like I was in the mall the other day. First of all, I don't know the last time I walked through a mall. I walked through a mall and you know, back home where my domicile is. And when I walk by a Five Below, I'm like, they got Five Below in the mall?
At least you say it right now. You used to call it Five and Below. That's how much you didn't know about Five Below.
Well, because it was 15 and below, actually, yeah. If you really want to know, right?
Yeah, no, it's a scam in there sometimes. Scam.
Well, either way, months later, Megan is now speaking out about it because she talked to E! News and said that she's heard about this, although she hasn't seen it. You saw it. Here's Megan Fox reacting to this whole comparison to Chelsea Blackwell.
So you have to know about Chelsea from Love is Blind. Do you know about this moment?
I've never had more people text me about something because I don't really watch TV very much, but I've had a lot of people text me and stop me. Even other celebrities at like Oscar parties were like, do you watch Love is Blind? And I was like, no, but I know what you're talking about.
So do you think that Chelsea received way too much flack for her comment? Stating that she is your doppelganger, or that you are her doppelganger?
Like I said, I didn't watch it, but I think in general, just no one deserves to get bullied. And I did see a picture of her, and I guarantee you, she has like very blue, like slightly slatted almond-shaped eyes. 100,000% people have told her, you kind of look like Megan Fox. So I believe she's telling the truth, and I hope like she still has that sparkle in her eye. I hope the world didn't steal it from her. Mine died long ago from being bullied for 20 years. So I hope that didn't happen to her. Best wishes and blessings. And yeah, I don't think she deserved that. I think people went way too hard. That was a very bizarre, like, I don't know why that got so much press.
I thought that was a really nice way of saying, I have no clue why they would compare her to me. And I don't think that the truth is disrespectful, because if you make a claim that you look like Megan Fox when you look like, I'll just be nice this time and say somebody completely different, then you should expect it. And on top of that, you're saying Love is Blind. Well, clearly looks were too, because you didn't see yourself in the mirror. And then and then when you're on TV, you're not a private person. You open yourself up to, do you know how many years they tell me I was fat, I was this. If I came right now and said, oh, I look like Jason Tatum, they'd be like, well, you play with balls, he plays with balls. Y'all not the same, right? We're not the same. I've accepted that over here. Am I wrong? Are we bullying her right now?
No, I don't think
we're... I mean, you were bullying her.
I what?
You were bullying Natalie.
I was not bullying either of them. I was saying that Natalie, I think Natalie's pretty. And I think this girl is pretty. I think, like you said, she's just not as rich as a Megan Fox. She looks like...
So you're saying she's broke and ugly?
No, I'm saying she looks like a small town version. So I and plus
now you're shut. Now you're disrespecting small town Stockton. No, is a small town. And by the way, Stockton, California, was rated at one point the city with the most beautiful people.
Oh yeah, everybody in Stockton is gorgeous.
Nah,
they are. They are.
All
they
the
are.
People in District 6 are.
They're gorgeous. I think there's a lot. There's like a lot of diversity in.
I thought you were gonna say there's a little area where they are.
No. It's a lot of diversity.
Stockton got some beautiful ass people.
But in her defense, she didn't say she looks like Megan Fox. She said people tell her that, and she doesn't necessarily think she does, but she's heard it a lot. So, but I think she looks like a small town version. I get where she could say people tell me that.
Well, you know, your grandma will tell you everything. Your grandma be lying because she don't want to tell you you're a descendant of something ugly. You know, but you're not ugly. You're just more of like a clerical version of Megan Fox, you know?
I can't believe you guys don't see it because I do see it.
I see it.
Girl, go get your
eyes.
For
real, I have contacts in.
Cover one eye. What's that word over there on the wall? Right there. What's that word over there? Right there. No, right there. What's that word on that wall? Right there.
There's no word.
Yes, it is. What do you see on there? What do you see?
Jason Lee podcast.
No, over there on the wall. What do you see? What word right there? See? You're blind.
There's no word.
All right. Goodbye. All right, listen. Beyonce is in the news, and Courtney Love has no love for B. Now, I don't know what it is, and I'm going to say this, and I know this is going to sound so crazy, because we love Beyonce. Let's be very clear. I'm a huge Beyonce fan, but I'm starting to learn more about her and her people behind the scenes, and I'm starting to be less in love. Mm. When I tell you what I found out, okay, I'm sorry, I'm on camera. Last time I did this, y'all said I was trying to extort the girl, so I'm going to just be very clear. I'm learning a lot more about B, and this is you got to be careful. When you start wanting to become more of a public person, not more of a public person, like she's the most public person in the world, but when you want to start being more vulnerable and showing people who you are and bringing them into your world, and they start digging around, start finding out things, people start to look at you and go, wait a minute, huh? Because I guess the curse and the blessing of Beyonce is that we really don't know you. Except for through your music. By the way, that country album I'm playing from the beginning to the absolute end now. Every track is fire. Mm-hmm. So I'm beyond Texas Hold'em. I'm listening to 16 Carriages I actually fell in love with. Mm-hmm. A Daughter I fell in love with. It's the creative artistic stuff all around the album. And she does a really good job when it comes to her music. Mm-hmm. She's selling a hair care line right now, and she's putting that product on a wig.
You have to wash a wig.
Listen, it's Beyonce selling a hair care product right now that they're styling her wigs with. It's just so unauthentic, but I think that's Beyonce's brand. Like, her brand is very much like not really relatable. I want to use my mega stardom to sell things. And then after the hype is done in like 32 hours, you're like, I don't want it. The music now, you'll listen to that, you'll go to the show, and that's what I think we love Beyonce for that, but there's not one of you out there spraying her perfume on you. Ain't nobody out there got House of Darion in their closet. Don't nobody got Ivy Park on the way to the park. And none of you are combing your hair with the stuff she's put in her wig that are more than synthetics, which you all are probably having. Yeah, you know, listen, we love you, Beyonce, but Courtney doesn't. So she sponsored this segment. I'm just here to read the words. Courtney Love was trending this week after coming for Taylor Swift, Madonna, Lana Del Rey, and even Beyonce. Courtney, were you back on that heroin?
Allegedly.
What is going on? You went after all the girls? Because Lana Del Rey, I'm not even a huge fan of, but people love Lana Del Rey. What is the infatuation with Lana Del Rey? Does anybody know?
I've not been on that train, so I don't know.
I'm also not on the train,
people love her.
Yeah, I don't. A few songs I know are good, but I don't.
I like Lana because she's like a allure, like a mystery.
She's like beautiful.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so. Like her, she has like a haunting voice. Like she has a.
Maybe
real...
I should like play her albums one day. Just
You would like the one.
Send me what you think I like.
Okay.
I've been seeing she was just recently at Coachella, and I know everybody was posting her, and she's very sultry. I could see people. I see why the guys love her, but I don't know. I don't know enough. But I know Madonna's an icon. Taylor Swift, she's a little dry and boring. But anyway, she went after all these girls. Now, Courtney is a huge figure in the alternative and grunge scenes of the 1990s. And her career has spanned, you know, four decades, doing everything from playing the guitar, singing, writing, and acting. She was also married to Nirvana's frontman, Kurt Cobain, who she had a daughter with. Remember, he committed suicide years ago. I remember that when it was on the news. Here's a photo of Courtney then and a photo of her now. She's aging like a natural white woman. Actually, photo number one, she looks like Taylor Dane. Do you remember Taylor Dane? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's our era. You're Marina, you're too young. Google Taylor Dane. Now, because of Courtney's success and longevity, she's never been someone to hold anything back. So in usual fashion, Courtney's now revealing her dislike for a few powerhouses. And these are players in the game that a lot of us respect that I just named. Well, in this new interview with The Standard, on Taylor Swift, Courtney questioned her artistic skills, drawing comparisons to Madonna. She said, Taylor's not important. She might be a safe space for girls, and she's probably the Madonna of now, but she's not interesting as an artist. Despite recognizing Madonna's success, Courtney Love also said, she doesn't mess with her, explaining, I don't like her, and she doesn't like me. When it came to Beyonce, Courtney Love said, she's not here for the icon's latest album, Cowboy Carter, but she does like the significance of the project, which she said symbolizes black women going into spaces where previously only white women have been allowed. And she added, as a concept, I love it. I just don't like her music. Is that fair?
No.
Mm-mm. What's the last Courtney Love song you listened to?
I don't recall.
Do you?
Mm-mm. I don't know nothing about that lady.
I don't know her.
I don't know her.
Yeah. Is this just people being a hater because Beyonce is great at music?
It's giving Cat Williams to me right now. She's just naming people who are in the spotlight, who are big, and now we're having a conversation about it. That's what it's giving.
I just feel like, why? Who even asked her? And why is she even speaking? It's like asking, I don't even know. Like, you know, I don't even know. I don't even know.
Well, Courtney, you seem angry and jealous. And I know Madonna, she's never talked about you. And she just did a world tour, sold out tour. So we don't know if you just sold out, but either way, we don't know you like that. And shame on you for talking about people that we respect. Beyonce is an icon. Madonna is an icon. Taylor Swift is an icon.
Taylor Swift's an icon.
No, she is.
Yeah, right. She is.
Mm-hmm. Taylor Swift is, she's Taylor, but I saw some images of Taylor recently, and I don't understand the infatuation with this girl. Do you?
I was just, she just dropped more music, and like the world went crazy. She's like polarizing to these people. I don't understand.
Do you get it?
I think she has this like, it's a some girl connection with the fans. I don't even know if it's with her, but it's like this broken heart girl connection.
So last night, Jill, our friend.
Oh my God. That's why I saw this regular ass
phone. Oh, I was right there. She bought a $180 bottle of tequila and was sobbing, boohoo, everything, every quote. She was like, oh my God. Ah, and every quote. And she asked me what I thought. And I'm like, every song just kind of sounds the same. So I don't know where the separation lies. But she did eat down. You saw she dissed Kim.
Who did?
Taylor. She dragged Kim. She said,
what's she saying?
There's a song called Thank You, Amy, and she only capitalized the K I M in it. And basically in the song, she's like, she ate down with that low key. She was like, your daughter's gonna sing a song where I'm shitting on you and only me and you are gonna know the significance because North will always dance to Taylor. Then she talks about how, like, because.
Wait, so Taylor's a shady bitch?
She's a nasty girl.
She's a nasty, low down, Taylor, wig snatching.
Taylor, I'm a fan. Oh my God. Please go download Taylor Swift's most recent album. Really?
Nasty. Then okay. She was talking about my mom wished that you were dead.
No.
Yes.
Nasty.
Really?
Nasty girl. I was here for that part.
This is actually a good transition. Okay, bye.
Oh.
Kim's sister's daddy died. This show is an unusual show. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be rude. But, you know, they did say that.
Allegedly.
Was Khloe Kardashian's father, you know, for years. Well, anyway, last week, OJ died. And it went viral when he died because he died. And when they announced that he died, his family came out with this whole public statement. Now, it was, you know, Hollywood Unlocked staff, I think you guys got this one wrong. They posted a tribute to him, and I had to get in the group chat and say, excuse me, we're not going to pay tribute to a guy who murdered
allegedly
his ex-wife and her boyfriend went on a high-speed chase threatening to kill himself, barricaded himself in a house with a gun in his head, to his head, who went through a court system, and because he had a crafty attorney, got off for murder.
Allegedly.
With a friend whose sexuality is still questionable, Kato Caitlin living in the back house. I want to know what glove didn't fit with that motherfucker. Okay? Now, here we are. My team went and posted his photo on social media with the little dove. Did you see me in the chat room?
I did.
I'm like, wait a minute. Wait, hold on. I'm like, wait a minute. We're not going to do a tribute. They're like, well, I said put another post up with his more memorable moments because he did live a life that was covered in controversy for years. Remember, he did the interview where he acted like he was stabbing the woman, the person. Mm-hmm. He did a book saying, what if I killed Nicole or something like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, this guy is just a shit guy. And now he's dead. Shit people die. And you just don't shit on them. But you just, you know, you don't wipe the shit off with white doves. Okay. Well, either way, his family announced that he died on social media. And again, my team posted it. Now, the former NFL player was 76 years old and had been battling prostate cancer. Now, I wasn't aware of this. Now, here's what his family said on his official account. On April 10th, our father, Orenthal James Simpson. Wait, can I just say something? When I say Orenthal James Simpson, don't that take you back to when Marsha Clark used to say it? And when the clerk read his charges? Anyway, go back. This is posted on X. On April 10th, our father, Orenthal James Simpson, succumbed to his battle with cancer. He was surrounded by his children and grandchildren. During this time of transition, his family asked that you please respect their wishes for privacy and grace, the Simpson family. I would have personally liked a quote from Bart Simpson, not necessarily Marge Simpson, even Homer, because I wasn't really, we didn't really care for your request for sympathy or for privacy, because Nicole Brown Simpson's family hasn't gotten any privacy over the years, decades that they've been fighting for her to get her a piece. When you saw that he died, did you get up and praise dance, or did you weep, or what was your reaction?
No, and this is...
Did you go grab a football and start running around for a Hertz commercial?
No, and I thought it was interesting. I was seeing all the different responses because a lot of media personalities were kind of like glorifying it and making a joke out of his death. And I was like, I think that's the wrong direction to go, because he did still have kids and grandkids, people around who loved him. So, and he died of cancer. So like, to me, it's not jokey for the way that it was being handled, but I wasn't like crying in the corner. Cause
were you sad?
No.
Did you lose sleep?
No.
Did you pray for him?
No, I don't really know him to pray for him.
Did you pray for his family?
Yeah, I think I was like, oh,
did
I hope.
Did you pray for his family?
I think personally I did. I was like, I hope his children and his grandchildren are like, you know, I hope they have some sort of peace. And I also said that about Nicole and Ron Goldman's family too. Like, I hope they all have some kind of peace in this, you know? But
did you pray?
I was dancing. I was praise dancing.
You were?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
So I was really little when this happened. I don't know. What year was that?
1994.
I was little.
95.
Okay.
95. So
I was 18. I was two. And so I didn't really know the whole story. And so when he died, actually the day he died, I passed by Bundy Drive, the street that I had been because I was in Santa Monica.
Wait, what were you, Bundy Drive is, for people that don't know, is so far away from here. Why did you go over there?
Because I was grabbing a birthday present.
But did you go over there to go see the crime scene?
No.
Because you seem like
the type. But I was like, wow.
You seem like the type that would Google the address and go see where the bodies are.
I've driven past it before when OJ was alive. My friend's like, this is the porch where he was.
Allegedly.
If trees could talk, there's a lot of trees around there. That's all I'm saying. Oh. He's like, ear. Then I watched a whole hour-long documentary. I never knew all the details. Mm-hmm. And I felt so bad. I never knew none of the stories. But then I heard that I saw his son. It was crazy, too. So
then you start like dancing. Ugly.
Yep.
Okay. There is a very amazing, the State versus OJ or whatever that show was. Do you remember that? Mm-hmm. Was it on FX? Or I don't know where it was. It may have been on FX.
I never watched that.
Amazing.
I'm interested.
It's so good. This was by far the best court thing ever, because unlike Donald Trump, we actually got to watch this every day. I remember going to my grandmother's house every day on South Scribner Street in District 6 and sitting there and watching this court thing, because this was like reality TV for us, right? We were able to see the whole court proceedings, and people's lives were destroyed as a result of this. Christopher Darden got depressed and ended up leaving. Marsha Clark, she ended up moving. I mean, like, people's lives were really affected by this. Kris Jenner, Khloe Kardashian's mother, who was rumored to have had an affair with OJ and then birthed out Khloe, who since revenge bodies brought her back from her big past. Well, Kris Jenner was best friends with Nicole Brown Simpson at the time she was murdered, and Khloe's
allegedly
father was the attorney for her.
Allegedly.
Her father.
And you saw.
And Bruce Jenner was in the court mm-hmm. with, okay, Bruce, see, Bruce ain't even Bruce no more. That's what I'm saying. Caitlyn Jenner was in Bruce's body at the time with Kris, who was there for OJ, and it's just mixy. The families had fallouts over this because they would go home over dinner, and the mom is crying for the girl who died, and the dad is going over the court papers on how to get them out, and then they're sitting there talking about how to keep up with the Kardashians.
It's so messy.
Very messy, just like the Kardashian family. Well, immediately following his death, people took to social media to share their condolences, shock, and of course their criticism over the former NFL star who had been acquitted back in 1994 of both the double murders of the people that we talked about. Now, here's a photo of a lineup of Ron Goldman and O.J. Simpson and Nicole Brown, just so you can see who we're talking about. Now, Ron Goldman on the left, for those of you that were really, really young on TikTok watching this, he was a server at a restaurant where Nicole was having dinner that night. She left something there, some glasses or something. He went to her house to go drop them off. OJ was
allegedly
in the bush, allegedly jumped out and stabbed them both to death on her porch. Now, Ron and Nicole, they allegedly had some kind of situationship going on, right?
Well, I think that was alleged, but I think she was dating someone else at the time.
I think she was dating, because he's giving me something else.
He's not giving gay.
No.
He's not?
No.
He was really good
looking. To me, he was giving trade.
No.
He was like a model.
Oh, okay. No, he's not.
We're not going to make a joke about the dead.
I'm not. I'm just saying. Okay. I don't think they were dating.
He was an attractive Italian man or whatever. Mm-hmm. Young, promising, fit. And when you see other photos of him, he looked really good. Mm-hmm. And you're saying there were rumors that she was dating somebody else?
I think she had been dating somebody else, like this a Latino dude. I can't remember. I have to look. But
he was just wrong place, wrong time.
I think he was wrong place, wrong time. Yeah.
And it was her mom that left her reading glasses in the restaurant that he was serving at. And so he was like, I'll go out of my way to drop it off because I know Nicole.
Went out of his way and died.
Yep.
Sad.
Sad. Okay. Well, of those who reacted was Ron Goldman's father. Now, this man has been an advocate for this is what I respect about Ron Goldman's dad. That man was at court every day and on the news every day. Remember him with the mustache, Rob, and the glasses? Mm-hmm. And he would be out there trashing OJ and keeping his son's name alive as you're supposed to. Mm-hmm. Well, he simply said that he felt nothing for OJ, who died, as his death only reminded him of how long his son had been gone without any justice. Now, Ron Goldman's family lawyer also spoke out and said O.J. Simpson died without penance, meaning he didn't make any deathbed confessions. Now, Caitlyn Jenner, who's formerly Bruce Jenner, who's formerly, you know, mixed up with the families I told you, he spoke out and said she. I can't. This 2024 is too much. She spoke out and said, good riddance. Can I put a pin in this? So I'm getting recognized by LA Mag during their Pride issue.
I love it.
Period.
I just have to say this because sometimes I know I come off transphobic or homophobic or gay or gay bashing or straight bashing or straight mixing or trying. Now they say I'm trying to groom people because I'm telling you to go out and have a gay moment on a weekend or two. You know, I'm not any of that, but I just like say it how I speak it. And I feel like in our community, we're afraid to make mistakes or we're afraid to let you guys make mistakes. We're all going to make mistakes like I just did. Caitlyn, she said good riddance when fans called her out and she doubled down and said this. I know you all think it's cute to compare. First of all, Caitlyn, what you're not going to do is start reading like a gay boy. Okay? You're not. You're a trans woman with big heels. Okay? Go back. I know you all think it's cute to compare a fatal car accident with multiple vehicles involved to a brutal murder. But remember, OJ said something to the effect of, I could kill her, Nicole, and get away with it because I'm OJ Simpson. Well, Caitlyn, first of all, what you should have said was, please stop holding me accountable for what Bruce did. because Kaylin referencing an event that Bruce did is not, it's like you're allowing the dead naming to happen. Mm-hmm. If you don't know what dead naming is what I'm saying. Kaylin, you don't even know how to be gay. Can you at least, if you're going to be gay or trans, can you transition into the right lingo? Okay. When you talk about your past and you reference Bruce, you're dead naming you, idiot. This is why Kaylin's not coming on the show. Huh?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, she should, though.
She should.
Mm-hmm. Especially now.
Actually, you know, there was this one time I called. I used to have Kendall and Kylie's phone number, not knowing that, because Rob Kardashian had called. Remember?
Yeah.
I was at your house when it happened.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Tell the story.
Well, you called the number. It was, I don't remember what time it was. It was like, was it like 8 in the morning?
It was early because Chris used to be on that treadmill at 5 in the morning.
But that's the number that she gave you to call. Mm-hmm. And then she was like, don't call that number. It's in the girls' room. They're sleeping.
Bruce said it.
Oh, I thought Chris said it.
Bruce.
But Chris gave you the number, but
yes,
Bruce
answered the phone. It was Kylie and Kendall's number. I thought you said she because Kaylin. Kaylin wasn't there yet. Well, anyway, Ron Goldman's family attorney also claimed that despite OJ, I've been around.
Wait, but this is when you were good friends
with Ron? This is when I was living on in his house. We were building the Rob Kardashian Jr. Foundation with Rob. We were going to Whole Foods, having meetings in Whole Foods, trying to put this together for like 9 months.
And then you became friends with Khloé later.
I was never her friend.
Oh. We were Rob's friend.
Yes.
Yeah, when he was fine.
When he was Rob.
Yeah, he was fine.
Mm-hmm. He was Rob. When he was younger, Rob. Yeah. We never had that situation. Rob was like a brother.
You sent Chris flowers. It was a whole thing. Yeah.
I used to tell Chris she was my industry mom. I used to like, and when Whitney Houston died, it was Kris Jenner that put me with the president of E! To help tell the true story. Me and Chris were cool. It wasn't until she started hiring these little fuck girls over there at her house to do, you know, that little fuck girl over there. You know who you are. And I told Chris, bitch, I don't know what you may push buttons in this city, but bitch, I push them too. But you had the wrong one. I'm waiting for Chris to pop off. I'm waiting for the Kardashians to do the pow-pow with me. Because when I tell you the inferno, I will burn Calabasas to the ground. And then come sue me. Then I just go to court every day. Then I'll be on The View. Right?
Yeah.
This might be a thing.
Look.
Just playing. Okay, well, Ron Goldman's family attorney also claimed that despite OJ no longer living, he still owed the Goldmans and Nicole's family millions of dollars in a civil judgment. Now, before OJ was acquitted in 1997, Nicole Brown and Ron Goldman's family sued him and were awarded $33.5 million. But OJ reportedly only paid about $123,000 before his death, still owing $114 million, including interest. Now, OJ's estate executor, who was his longtime attorney, Malcolm Laverne, said that he was ready to fight back against the family's claim and, quote, it's my hope that the Goldmans get zero, nothing, them specifically. And I will do everything in my capacity, executor or personal representative, to try and ensure that they get nothing. However, days later, the lawyer had a change of heart and told TMZ this.
Your statement that Fred can file this claim, is that kind of an open door that you will negotiate with him some kind of resolution?
I'm obligated to as an executor, and I don't want to get into the legalese of it, but I know from litigating with Fred Goldman through lawsuits he's filed against OJ in the past here in Nevada that he has a valid claim. So that's not the issue anymore. That is a valid claim, and it will be accepted into the estate.
That's a big statement. So you're now acknowledging that he is a creditor based on the civil judgment, and that he is now in line to get some amount of money from this estate?
That's accurate. He is a claimant. I haven't reached out to his representatives formally. Within the next few weeks, I will invite Fred Goldman, Sharon Ruffo, and the Brown family to show them my homework, because I've hit the ground running since Thursday evening when I found out I was the executor from A to Z with the entirety of control over Mr. Simpson's estate. And I'm going to invite them in before that time to show them what's there and show them what I've done.
What you're saying is from what O.J. Simpson said during his lifetime, because he would do anything to keep from paying Fred Goldman. And you sound more than receptive right now.
You got to remember, I was Mr. Simpson's attorney for 15 years, first on some of his camp issues, a.k.a. prison. But and then out of prison, dealing with issues, including Mr. Goldman's efforts to collect on that judgment here in Nevada. So I was part of Team Simpson with that attorney hat on, using the laws, if I could, to make sure that Mr. Simpson was protected as a debtor. But the attorney hat now has come off, all right? And the executor hat has come on. Two different rules, two different roles. So I have to get used to that learning curve.
Are we talking millions right now in terms of what OJ left?
Not from what I've done. And I'll give you a little idea of my homework. Most of what I've done for my sweeps of OJ's residence, where I presume most of his trust assets are at, you're talking furnishings, TVs, the same stuff that's in your house, Harvey, and in your house, Charles. I'm not a memorabilia guy, but I know who memorabilia guys are, that they're willing to pay top dollar, even for, you know, one man's garbage is another man's treasure, right? So maybe some people will say, look, even though this means nothing to me, some guy who is fascinated with OJ and has a lot of money will say, well, because it's OJ's, I'll pay $50,000 for it. There's a Florida bank account that Simpson has. I don't know. That's undetermined. I have the exact dollar amount of his Nevada account with me, and it's less than five figures. He was getting whatever the maximum amount of Social Security was OJ was getting. It was exempt from everyone except the IRS, but OJ was getting the max amount, whatever that is. That terminates upon his death. It's probably the same for the NFL pension and the SAG pension, but there is a caveat to that. There may be some residual beneficiary. I'll look into that. But at this point, you can, with a more than 50% chance, say that those also terminate with no residuals that can go into the estates. OJ does get money from memorabilia signing. So that was another stream of income. So it may have been done in cash. I'm not sure. But it's certainly there under sworn testimony from OJ that he made money through memorabilia signings.
Now, while OJ's estate's executive claims that retired NFL player died without millions, sources also allege that OJ ran a ring of all cash business deals to hide money and avoid paying on his civil judgment. Do you care? Does anybody care that OJ's dead? Uh-uh. No. Bye. My boy's in the news. Choppa. Okay. First of all, NLE Choppa. That video you did something to me. I ain't gonna lie. Now, I know you're a little too young for me to be crushing on, but I've always said there's something sexy about NLE Choppa. No? You don't think so?
I mean, I think he's a handsome guy.
Maybe it's the allure of a straight man gay playing?
Yeah.
I don't know.
And he's also just real confident, so I feel like that's it.
I like him. I talked to him the other day, and he said, when we doing that stuff in Stockton to help the kids? So, like, he, as much as he be on the internet going viral, doing all this craziness, he really cares about his community and health and all that. So, I like NLE. I like him a lot, actually. Well, he's fighting against gay rumors upon the release of his new raunchy single, Slut Me Out 2. Now, those of you that have been following me, you know I said when I get married, my wedding song is going to be Slut Me Out. You just have to hear the words. It's somewhere in there. There's some inspiration. Well, the Memphis rapper denies being gay, but also thanked his LGBTQIA+ community that Rob is on the board of for showing love to his new song. Now on the track, Choppa repeatedly raps, "If I was a bad bitch, I'd want to fuck me too. I'd want to suck me too. I'd want to slut me too." Along with this release, Choppa shared a video of him promoting the song while shirtless and gyrating and thrusting his pelvis around in the bathroom. Take a look. We're not playing the song because we don't want to pay for it. Rob, I've seen you do all these dances at one point in time.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Listen, that boy be trolling, and he knows in the TikTok world they're now TikToking this song. Do you think that makes him gay?
No, it's just like Beyonce made If I Was a Boy. Like, so what? This is a
good
song.
She didn't say I want to eat my clit too.
Well, she made a comparison of what she would do if she was on the opposite side.
But she was talking about love and being romantic.
Yeah, but he's the dude. He's still gonna talk about.
But a rapper talking about sucking his own penis, does that make you gay?
No. Not at all.
I think it was the bad bitch comment.
But if he sucked his own penis, would he be gay?
No.
It's his penis.
Dudes do that. I don't have that ability.
You can
I can't
suck your own dick.
Yeah, there's
if you
guys who
to.
Can do that. Yeah. I don't think it makes him gay. I just think it makes him freaky.
How do you even do that?
Well, you gotta have a big penis.
And you gotta be able to roll that spine.
Not the spine rollers, Lord.
Hey, some have a jelly roll, some have a spine roll. Okay. Well, fans and critics rushed to social media with their love opinions and, of course, criticism of the rapper's sexuality with his new song and usual "What happened to rap?" comments. Now, fighting against all of the noise, Italy Chapa hopped on X and said this: "I understand me being in love with myself as a black man is so rare to the point that some people try putting the homosexual jacket on my name. But with all due respect, I love all, but my intimacy lies with women only." Now, the noise continued days later, but Italy Chapa opted to ignore it and thanked the LGBTQIA+ community that Rob is on the board of for supporting his new single. This is what he said: "I'm noticing the LGBTQ community showing so much love to Slut Me Out too, and I simply want to say thank you. I don't care what's normalized as a rapper. I was raised to fuck with who fuck with you. So thank all of you for appreciating my craft, my music for all. We do not discriminate, or we do no discrimination. Well, I was raised to fuck with those that fuck with me too. So that's how me and Calvin ended up hooking up." We need to normalize sexual exploration.
Yes, I agree.
And I think these kind of songs and these kind of conversations do. NLE, I've not known him to be gay. I consider him a new friend, and we don't talk about being gay. We don't text about being gay. Now, I will tell you, NLE, if you really want to put fire under your music, what we should have done was went to a Lakers game wearing matching outfits, sitting front row on the court. That would have fueled the conversation. So, bro, if we're going to play, let's go all the way. All right. Well, anyhow, a critic then fired off NLE gay too. Shit going too far. So he fired back with this: "I'm gay for showing love. Y'all men lost. That's why we killing each other every day, because y'all can't show love. And whole time, y'all be the ones that get down like that, but be hiding it. Me saying thank you got nothing to do with my sexuality, Busta." I agree.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like how he handled that.
Did y'all see how Justin Bieber was minding his own business and Jaden walked up and bumped him on the booty and kissed him on his neck? Take a look. And that was gay.
That was friendly.
Sorry. If me and you go downstairs right now and find some random hood nigga outside and just walk behind him pumping our little thing against his butt, that's not being friendly. See, that's sexual. He sexually assaulted Justin Bieber.
These straight boys.
Wait, He did not have express permission to walk up behind Justin Bieber and hug him and pump his butt with his little penis and kiss him. But because they're friends, he thought it was okay. But what happens if a straight man goes up to a woman and does that he thinks he's cool with? Now he's a rapist.
That's what happened with Suki and
Osiris.
And Osiris.
But again, that's just a matter of perspective of the person who's on the receiving end of it. And straight men do this. None. Straight men do this all the time in the privacy of home when they're hanging out playing video games. They pretend to jerk off in each other's face. They hump each other. They do all this crazy stuff. They do all this crazy stuff. They're hypersexual with each other because they're not allowed to be. And then they turn around and make comments online like, oh, they're gay. But you do the same thing at home. Like, come on, stop pretending like you don't. They do it all the time.
Do you watch straight amateur gay porn?
I do.
I know, me too.
Straight amateur gay porn? Oh.
Because it's role playing. It's, I don't know. But for those of you that are allowing yourself to live honestly, you're out there doing things. The only reason why we have these conversations, I know you say, oh, Jason wants everybody to be gay. I don't want nobody to be shit. I don't even like half the world. I want people to start normalizing being themselves. Okay, I recently was on the Cam Newton show where I talked about having the freedom. It's so much freedom to just walk outside and give the world whatever I want to give it. I just give it. Sometimes y'all take it away. I don't care. It is what it is. Because I feel like there's so many women who are catching diseases because their man is hiding shit, or so many men who are killing trans women because they think a secret they had with them is going to get out. Normalize the conversation. You're going to get what you get. Now, by the way, Justin Bieber, are you pressing charges against Jaden for pumping your butt like that? Because I don't know. You made it okay to just randomly walk up and start pumping booty. Well, NLE Choppa continued to speak out about him being criticized for dancing. And here's what he said.
Hey, man, I promise you, I ain't making that video because I'm offended or I feel some type of way. But, man, it's funny how, like, back in the 70s, the 60s, men used to dance, bro, and it was, like, fun. It was happy. Nobody looked at them like they weren't straight, or nobody looked at them like they weren't gangsters, or nobody looked at them like they was less of a man. But you feel me? During the 70s, the 60s, the 80s, and a little bit of the 90s, a lot of people, you feel me, was dancing. And it was culture. Towards the 2000s and like 2010s, and I feel like I don't know what happened between that time period. I love for someone to come in on it and let me know what happened. But now it seems as if when men dance or when men show themselves having fun, it's less masculine, or they're not straight, or they're not certified G's, or some all these different things. Man, my whole motive, my whole thing is bring fun back to music. You feel me? So when you see me doing whatever, that don't mean I'm less of a nigga that'll whoop your ass, or I'm less of a nigga that'll shoot you. That don't mean I'm less of that type, man. Cause I ain't gonna lie, that part of me is hidden somewhere as well. But that can come out. But you feel me? Why do we gotta bring that out? When we know that these things lead to two places. Ain't there enough niggas dying now? It's enough niggas going to jail. Y'all always wanna be gangsters, and then I be the one gotta pay the funerals. I be the one gotta sit by the mama when they crying. Feel me? Y'all ain't tired of that. Y'all ain't ready to have some fun. Y'all ain't seeing all the turmoil they be going on behind all this. Y'all wanna hear murder rap, all this shit. Everybody wanna shot a flow from trouble. I don't mind giving it to you, but I'm gonna give it to you with a balance. You feel me? I'm gonna go here. I'm gonna be versatile.
First of all, bring the whole thing back. Can you back up next time so we can see the whole body? I was just trying to look at your tattoo. I mean, how you gonna do a video in the shower wiping yourself off, talking about slut me out too, but yet you won't drop the towel? Mm-hmm. Come on, do your job. All right. Let this man be whoever or whatever he wants to be. Bye. All right. Well, Rick Ross and Drake, they got this beef going on. I'll be honest with you. I have not been following this because I don't even know what's real these days. Is it beef? Is it marketing? Because the new marketing of hip hop music nowadays is getting to a fight with somebody. Here we are talking about you. Okay, well, Drake and Rick Ross have had everyone's timelines jammed up this week because they were feuding. Now, but before those two got into it, Chris Brown and Quavo got into it, and their beef goes all the way back to 2017. I have to tell you, when Joyner Lucas was here and he talked about, he didn't talk about it on the show, but he had told me that he was on a show where Chris made some interesting comments about Quavo, and I couldn't make the connection of what it was. And then it took me back to a night that Cardi texted me about coming to the club, and I went there, and she was dancing with her husband, Offset, and then I look to the left, Coochie Tran. Johnny, are you laughing?
That's Caitlyn Jenner's Coochie Tran.
I'm going to blame it on not sleeping. Mm. I've been on the road. Mm. Coochie Tran was sitting in between Quavo's legs while he was dancing above her. I just passed her some 1942, like, fuck it, let's just drink and I'll act like I didn't see you, but I saw you. You were there with your man. Well, Chris Brown, from what I'm hearing, cannot fathom the idea of Carucci being long into somebody else. Like, he's obsessed with this girl, allegedly, from what I've heard.
Allegedly.
Quavo and Carucci were things, so that just drove Chris into a certain way. Now, here's a photo of Chris Brown and Carucci, and then Quavo and Carucci. Now, I won't lie, I like Chris and Carucci together better because they were a vibe. Like, they were a thing. And I was so happy to see Chris rebounding with a girl that he had re-fell in love with. And he was happy. And it just, you know, he wasn't able to work through his demons at the time. And it just didn't work out. And Carucci then became a star and won all these Emmys doing a show I've never seen. And I'm just happy for her and happy that Chris is now in a much better place. Quavo and Carucci were a cute thing, too. And I just think it's because I really like Quavo. But they don't really look good together the way that, I mean, they look interesting together, but they're not bad. But I like Quavo. He's a good guy. And Carucci's a good girl. We haven't seen Quavo and Carucci fighting in an elevator. So at least she did something better than Sweetie. I don't know. Well, Chris seemingly took some shots at Quavo on that song, Freak. He rapped, fucking my old bitches ain't gonna make us equal. Sipping that 1942 because I don't do no Quavo, you know. Quavo. Freak bitch, she like Casamigos, not the Migos. Side note, the Migos is my favorite rapper. Now, firing back, Quavo dropped a Tinder song called Tinder, where he rapped in the chorus, you did a bitch wrong, and now the bitch gone. She posted with a thug. Call the bitch phone, she won't come home. Don't beat her up. It must be the drugs. need to cross out your plug. See, here's the thing. Anytime Chris gets into it with somebody, they're going to do the low blow and go back to when he got into the abusive situation with you know who. I'm not going to say her name because she needs to be left alone. Every time you bring up Chris's domestic violence, you bring her into it. This girl has moved on, had two kids, got with a man. She's happy. I don't know why we keep dragging her into it. But on the other hand, all bets are off when you start a beef with somebody and here they come for you. Now, Quavo continues saying, wiping your nose with the tissue, you not wiping no snot. Tell me, little bro, what's your issue? It's over a thought. You said that it's bigger than that, but you know that it's not. It's because I be digging in that. It got him hot. I'm giving respect, but I know you not. Your bitch on my neck. Your bitch at the spot. So he just said he fucking Karrueche. Just putting coochie out, coochie tran all over the internet. What you think? Is that low?
Yeah, I don't like that. It's like all the women in this situation are catching stray bullets.
But we're talking about like some of the biggest women. Well, we're talking about women who are respected.
Yeah.
Because Karrueche, she's not at the level of Rihanna and never will be, but she's respected.
She's not trashy.
And she's not a problematic person. Exactly. Karrueche's not known for going out and starting beef. She's actually never started a beef that I know of, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then Chris Brown's an R&B singer getting into it with a rapper. So like, rappers do what rappers do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Quavo, I ain't gonna lie to him. You said he does drugs. You say you're fucking Karrueche. He say he has Karrueche on his neck.
He ate that, okay.
What is Karrueche? He ate that, no pun intended. what is Karrueche doing to these boys? She must got a... remember the golden child? When you see the golden child, the whole room told her she must open them legs, just the whole room turned gold. Just Oscar pussy. Anyway, now following Chris Brown and Quavo, Kendrick Lamar dissed Drake and J. Cole on Metro Boomin and Future song Like That. Now, last October, J. Cole featured on Drake's First Person Shooter and called himself Drake and Kendrick, the Big Three, adding, "But right now, I feel like Muhammad Ali." Months later, Kendrick's now used Like That to claim he is better than both of them, rapping, "Motherfuck the Big Three, it's just Big Me," and he continued dissing Drake. Now, returning fire, J. Cole dropped a surprise project called Might Delete. Later, and on the song 7 Mile Drill, Cole sent warning shots to Kendrick, calling him a flop and more. Now, as the album title warned, Cole ended up apologizing for dissing Kendrick and deleted it from streaming platforms, both of which sparked much disappointment in the rap community because, you know, when you diss somebody like Sheether or Ether, you leave it up for us to digest for years. So somewhere in the midst of all that, Rick Ross and Drake began beefing. Now, when Rosé shared a video riding to Kendrick's verse, dissing Drizzy, that set Drizzy off. That's when an unreleased Drake song leaked online, which was followed by a final version called Push Ups, where Drake dissed Future, Kendrick, Metro Boomin, The Weeknd, Rick Ross, and Ja Morant. Ja Morant, the basketball player with the guns?
Sure did.
Rick Ross then responded with Champagne Moments, where he repeatedly called Drake white boy and made fun of him for using ghostwriters, allegedly getting a nose job and fake abs and sending a cease and desist letter to French Montana to keep his verse off his last mixtape. Let me tell you something. Y'all are worse than the girls at this point. Is this sounding real fishy?
Nasty.
Messy. Messy boots.
This is almost like stuff the girls be doing.
It's worse.
All we need is for one of y'all to go, hold on. Where's it out? Where's it at?
Yeah.
He looks good there. He's been working out. The body's a little bit more developed now. Okay, well, listen. Now, Rick Ross uploaded his diss track online with this cover art. And he's saying that looks like Drake, right?
Mm-hmm.
So toxic.
Not BBL Drizzy in the corner.
Listen, that night, or the night of dropping his diss, Rick Ross was later spotted in a hoodie with Drake's face. Now, this is taking trolling to another level. Take a look. Which means he had to have this one in the making already. Well, Drake then shared a text from his mom asking him if he got a nose job because she was concerned. And this is what Drake said. Basically said, "Nah, mom, he's just mad, but we'll handle it." You can screenshot and read the letter. Now, you can screenshot and read that later. Now, Rosé responded and called him Cupcake Drake. Take a look.
"Oh, it's such a beautiful day.
Me waking up from a nap, I just realized BBL Drizzy called his mommy on me. He shared their text messages between each other. Cupcake Drake, tell your mama you stayed out past your curfew, white boy. You wanted to hang at the park with the niggas, smoke weed with the niggas while we washed our old school Chevys. White boy, you got a Chevy, white boy? I doubt it. But anyway, big nose. Boy, you had 25% body fat with a carved out 6-piece. Stop. We know what time it is. That shit costs 40 bands. Stop. But tell your mama, well, in Miami, we say old girl. Tell your old girl she a beautiful lady. I told you that before, and I meant that. But you tell your mama, white boy, you stayed out at the park too late. And you can't call her when you get in this shit. This shit too deep to call your mama, white. I might write a song that they call Who Knows? Who knows? One thing about, I'm going to say this. You niggas with them BBLs, you niggas, I'm speaking specifically to you niggas with BBLs. If you got a fake body, you got a fake mind, nigga. Leave that shit to them cute bitches walking around in YSL heels. Not you bitch niggas in OVO, the pastrami posse.
Well, Birdman then entered the chat, claiming he was riding with Drake for life. After much trolling, Rick Ross offered Drake one opportunity to apologize. But then he started dragging him and Birdman and bringing up Stunna's foreclosed home. Look.
Like the bigger person. I'm the bigger person. I'm a boss. Drake, I'm going to give you an opportunity to apologize. First and foremost, you got to admit, confess you got your nose reduction, and confess you got a BBL. And I understand. I know what it's like having those flaps on your stomach and that sweat being under there. You ain't want to do that. You wanted to just gym. You Drizzy. You BBL. You could go get it done. And you did it. Just white boy, BBL Drizzy, I got a question. I saw you posted you got more money than Ricky Rose. And let's assume you did. Well, your best friend, Birdman, his house went into foreclosure 5 years ago. You done watched that man struggle them 5 years and ain't get that man a mansion. Because if you got more money than Rose, what's another 50 million, white boy? White boy, it's one for 40 on Indian Creek. It's one for 50 on Star Island. You got 48 hours, white boy. If you got Ricky Rose money, ain't none of my niggas winning foreclosure. Come on, white boy. I'm finna bust a bottle. White boy, don't do stunner like that. Come on, man. What happened to that? 48 hours, the countdown has begun. And that old ass jet you got, they gave it to you free. That's a 1978. Be safe on that, Drizzy. Be safe on that plane. That old motherfucker. God, it's great. Hey, no, this shit is really funny because I'm going to tell y'all, it's like battling against nerds. It's like sitting in a class and you watching all the nerds put together their best science project to present to the class. Man, y'all can have that shit. I ain't with that shit. Nigga, your nose fake, your stomach fake, you don't write raps, your biggest homies in foreclosure. Come on, man. Go buy all them niggas that's living with each other a big mansion and put the BBL Drizzy logo on the gates. Man, feed them niggas, man. Come on, man. Do that shit, man. And y'all need to pray for Drake and tell him, park that old ass plane. It's a 1978. The cargo jet people gave it to him free for promo. And I ain't hating, but be safe, my nigga. If something was to happen to you and I couldn't tell you this, be safe. And anybody getting on it, be safe, man. Wear your seat belts and make sure the oxygen thing's in there, because that shit was just for luggage. It wasn't for human beings. What, this is a perfect opportunity for y'all to see the type of nigga white boy is. Soon as that pressure on white boy, he gonna go post stunner. Stunner in that $20 jogging suit. No, the man needs some paper. And make him say, I got your back. He don't want to say that to that mark. Nigga ain't got that mark back. That mark ain't fed him none. But since you done watched him struggle and gave him, nigga, show the world you go buy him. Post him when you go buy him a motherfucking $40 million mansion, white boy. Huh? Huh? Soon as Rose on your ass and you call your mama, then I'm a post Birdman and kiss him on TV. Nah, that's what white boys do. Show your real niggas when you go buy them that big mansion, nigga. You know how stunning them used to do it, nigga. Huh? when Stunner was on top, nigga, when you was, come on, white boy, show the world, we watching now. Ooh, you post a nigga when you need him, ooh. Hey, I need you to play that, what happened to that crib, what happened to that crib, come on, Drizzy, come on, white boy, come on, white boy, soon as you get in that trouble, ooh, I gotta go stand next to the niggas. Ooh, we just watched this on for a real time. See, white boy, I'm a different kind of nigga. I'm a different kind of nigga. Rosé, nigga, I'm rich, nigga. I don't need you for a remix, white boy. I don't need you. All them other niggas want to tell you what I'm telling you. I'm saying it for all the niggas who ain't in my position. What happened to that crib? Come on, nah, we ain't getting slimy yet. We just warming up. White boy want it. If you want it, nigga, be about it. Put it on Miss Gladys, nigga. We all got them. We all got them. Let the dogs loose. Y'all niggas want to go now? Let's go now. This Rosé, bitch.
Now, Drake responded and said Rick Ross is living in a content creator crib. Like the TikTokers. Stop shaming the content creators. Look, this is what Drake... Rick, you sandwich in witches on brand because the vacant land, not yours. This shit, the Miami starter pack, you live in a content creator crib. Who won all that? Did anybody win?
Well, 50 said Drake won, so I'm just going to go with that.
And 50, you used Carisha's interview with me to slam her. Please keep me out of it. And if you are going to throw me in it, tag my name so I can get some followers. Slut me out. Slut me out. I'm surprised Drake didn't say anything to Rick Ross about being the police. Because he could have hit him with some of that, right?
Everybody was in Rick Ross's comments. Was saying,
well, we can't see him because Rick Ross blocked us at Hollywood Unlocked. Now, Rick Ross, you know I love you. You love me too. I need to message you on my personal account because you blocked Hollywood Unlocked. But he didn't block us because of this. He blocked us because we be posting his baby mama, Tia Kemp.
Oh.
By the way, Tia, you are invited to the Jason Lee Show. You are highly entertaining. Can you please message her?
Yes.
Handle that.
Okay,
bye. It's time for Thoughts and Prayers. Is 2024 about to be the year of beefs? I mean, in January, all the comedians were dragging one another, and now all the rappers are airing out each other's business. Now, we never expected all of these feuds, especially Rick Ross, the biggest boss, calling out Drizzy Drake for allegedly getting lipo and fake abs. What is going on in these hip-hop streets? Meanwhile, Italy Choppa is fending off gay rumors because he's sexy and he knows it. Since when is it a crime to love yourself? The only crime that has been committed this past week is Courtney Love coming for Taylor Swift, Madonna, and Beyonce. Girl, you tried it. Now, Courtney, girl, it's time that you just move on because your time has passed, just like OJ. Is that too soon? Oh, well, it's the truth. Get over it. Taylor, Madonna, Beyonce, all three of their names ring more bells than the delivery man. Now, the only thing Courtney is ringing is her career. It's kind of giving washed up. You will never be like those women, just like the Chelsea Blackwell will never be a Megan Fox lookalike. I mean, you may think you're twins, but again, more like Caitlyn. And Megan tried to be nice, but girl, the jury is still out on that comparison. And just like I'm about to be out of here because I got something to do. That's the show. Follow me everywhere. Make sure you subscribe. Rob, you got anything to add?
Nope.
Marina?
No.
Bye. The Jason Lee Podcast.